If you are awake and you're happy to be in church today, will you make some noise? All right, you guys at all of our campuses, welcome. You may be seated. We are so glad you're with us. This is Life Change Sunday. The reason we call it Life Change Sunday is because we're celebrating today the fact that Jesus changes people's lives. And most of us here who are part of this thing called South Bay Church, we have radically had our lives changed by the hope and the love and the peace that Jesus brings to our lives. And today we're excited to tell you about that. And some of you are here, your friend brought you, maybe this is your first time in church, and we want today to, as clearly as possible, talk about the invitation that Jesus makes to us to life, to hope, to peace, to purpose, to a life of significance. And how many of you believe that this is a time where we need some hope in our country and in our world? There's a lot of stuff that is happening that seems like all hell is breaking loose. It keeps getting closer and closer and closer to us, all the way to the fires in North Bay. And we believe that when it gets dark, when it gets difficult, that's when the light shines brightest. In fact, we have a statement here that we say, we believe that the hope of the world is found in the local church. And right now, as we are meeting here together in the North County areas in Santa Rosa, there are 60 churches that have canceled their services. Many of them have lost houses, church buildings, pastors that have lost houses, and they are gathering together to pray for their community, to ask God to move, to ask Him to turn tragedy into triumph. And we're going to stand with them. In fact, because of your generosity, immediately when this happened, we were able this week to send a check to a church up in Santa Rosa called New Vintage Church. They're just immediately able to send them some money. Some of you, maybe you want to open up your home to people who've lost their homes. You can sign up for that on our app as a next step. And most importantly, we want to pray that God would use this tragedy and He would bring good news to that community. This is the time where people who are followers of Jesus need to stand and serve and love and believe God can leverage this for good in the community. Sound good? Now, when we talk about the subject of hope, the reality around hope in our lives is that the same problems we faced and that face in the 21st century are some of the same problems that they faced in the first century. In fact, today we're going to go all the way back to the first century in that moment when Jesus would show up and He would bring hope. But see, when they were looking for hope in the first century, it wasn't necessarily the kind of hope that Jesus brought. They were looking for something that would be circumstantial, that would deliver them from the oppression that they were facing from the Roman government, much like we do today, that we want hope, but oftentimes the way that we think of hope is purely circumstantial. But Jesus offered something that was greater than their circumstances. It was a hope that went beyond this moment, that went into the future, that ultimately would go for all of eternity. And we're going to look at the eyewitness account of the early followers of what happened in that moment when Jesus shows up to them for the very first time. Now, Matthew chapter 4, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. And this whole book was written by one of the early followers of Jesus. It's an account of a guy by the name of Matthew. It's all of his stories of what he saw and what he heard and how he spent time with Jesus. And on this one particular occasion when Jesus shows up to give hope to this small group of people, there's a group of fishermen that are hanging out by the side of the lake. The lake is called the Sea of Galilee, and they're just finishing up their work for the day. They've been fishing, the scripture says, or the story says, that they were casting nets into the sea. And Jesus comes along, and He makes an invitation to them. In fact, the invitation that Jesus makes in that moment, for those of us who are looking back now, it's not the same that it would have been in that moment for them as they were receiving it. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18, the story begins, and it says this, that while walking by the Sea of Galilee, He, talking about Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, who would later become one of the founders of the church and known as St. Peter, one who would influence the entire world. He's there. And Andrew, his brother, they're casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So they're doing what they always do. It was an ordinary day. They're throwing the net into the sea, trying to figure out if they can make some extra, you know, money. And this is their routine, and Jesus comes up, and He's going to interrupt their routine. In fact, Jesus was not overly concerned about interruption because He had something that was better than what they were doing in that moment. And Jesus looks at them, and He makes an invitation. He says, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." That's an interesting statement, fishers of men. What does that mean? So like I'm going to, I don't know, throw this net on people, and some guys are fishers of women. You know, there's like a, come with me, baby. But Jesus was making an invitation to something that would have been so different than what they would have received by all the other religious leaders. See, at this point, they already knew he's a religious leader. He's already been teaching. He's already been telling people, repent, turn, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But they didn't understand what that meant. They thought it was supposed to be a physical kingdom, but Jesus is talking about a spiritual kingdom. So they know something about this guy's not ordinary. They know that he's a teacher. They know that he has power, and he makes an invitation to come and to follow him. And he's going to transform their lives. He's going to give them significance. He's going to give them meaning. He's going to give them purpose. But there's a choice in that moment that they have to make. And I want us to see from this story several components of the invitation that Jesus makes to these early followers that is the same invitation that Jesus makes to you and I today in the 21st century. And I want us to notice that that same decision-making process that these men who were standing with their nets were going through is the same decision-making process that every person who's followed Jesus in all of human history has gone through. And the question is, will they say yes to the invitation? Will they say yes or will they say no? Which brings up a very important thing for us to recognize. We as humans are constantly saying yes and no. Some of us are yes people. Some of us are no people. I wonder if we could have a moment of honesty in church today. How many of you are, you're like the yes kind of person? You're always up for a good time. They're the ones that sit in the front and make noise at all the services. How many of you guys are no people? Just out of curiosity. See, they don't even raise their hand. They're like, I am not raising my hand. Now, there's a part of it that's personality. Some of us were a little bit more resistant to change, to new ideas, but we're all saying yes and saying no all the time. And your life is shaped by what you say yes to and what you say no to. And every yes is a no, and every no is a yes. So if you date her, you can't date her. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. That might be what you needed today. I'm just giving you some love, sister. I'm just helping you out. Like, two is not good. You know what I'm saying? And if you say yes to this job, that means you're saying no to that job. You say yes to this investment of your resources financially, you're saying no to that investment. Life is filled with yes and no choices. And some yeses are better than other yeses. And some no's are better than other no's. We know this. Not every relationship is created equal. Not every job is created equal. Not every financial investment is created equal. And your life will be defined based upon what you say yes to. And sometimes we say yes to the wrong things and no to the wrong things, so we miss out on the opportunity that God has, and then we create a tremendous amount of regret. Saying yes to the wrong things and no to the right things will eventually lead us to this place of deep regret with our lives. I look back over some of the decisions that I made and in the moment didn't realize how defining for the rest of my life that decision would be. I remember vividly Stacy and I trying to get pregnant, and we had gotten pregnant really quickly the first go around, and we were wanting to keep having kids, and so we just kept trying, but she couldn't get pregnant again, so we adopted our son Sammy from Ethiopia. And that's our best hopes at a college athlete in our family, for sure. And we still believe that we weren't done biologically, but we were going to the doctor and we had issues. So the doctor, after multiple trips to the doctor, the man doctor said, you're the problem. And so there's a small surgical procedure that we can do that will solve the problem if you'll do it, and you'll have to go under and you might die afterwards, and you know, but if you do it, you could have another kid. He didn't say you might die. That's just like commentary to make the story more interesting. So he, but he's like, you can have the surgery and maybe afterwards you can get, your wife can get pregnant. It's gonna cost you a few thousand dollars. And in the moment, it was a decision that didn't really seem like a big decision. Do I do the surgery or not do the surgery? So we talked and we prayed and we did the surgery. And within about a year and a half, we had a little girl. And now sometimes I'll be sitting on the floor with her and I'll think, what if? What if I hadn't said yes? in that moment. Your life is defined by what you say yes to and what you say no to. And we look back on stories from the Bible. Maybe you're new to this whole thing, but if you've read the Bible, you look back on stories like that, and you're like, oh yeah, that's Peter, that's John, that's the early disciples. But you don't realize in that moment the decision that they have to make. It's an invitation. It's the same invitation to you. You know, the first thing that Jesus is inviting them to say yes to is relationship over religion. Every religious leader had a set of rules that you had to follow to get in. There were all these things that had to be accomplished before you could follow a rabbi or a teacher. But Jesus comes and he says, all right, so here's the deal. I'm going to ask you, follow me, and I'll make you into fishers of men. Oh, wait, what about the books I need to read? What about the classes I need to take? What about all the... No. It's an invitation to say yes to relationship, drop your nets, and follow me. See, relationship is not built on the same thing that religion is. Religion is built on rules. Relationship is ultimately built on response. So God is all about the response of our hearts to him. You don't have to fix yourself and get yourself cleaned up before you can come to church. Some of us have religion in our background, but we had religion without relationship. So we had a bunch of rules, but we didn't really know what it meant to follow God. So we got pushed away. And maybe this is your first time back in church because it was all about the rules that you had to figure out before you could follow. But Jesus' invitation was never to a set of rules. In fact, he took all their rules and boiled it down. He was like the perfect Silicon Valley entrepreneur that makes everything more simple. He took 600 plus laws and boiled it down and said, it's just really loving God and loving people. But that is about relationship. It's not about rules. And if you get this invitation, then your mindset around following him will be so different. Some of us have been prevented from following Jesus our whole life because we always thought it was about religion. We always thought that there were certain things we had to do to fix ourselves before we could follow his ways. And so Jesus shows up and they smell like fish. They have problems. They have issues. And he makes an invitation, drop your nets and follow me. Now, the next word in the story is really important because Matthew, the early follower of Jesus, very specifically uses the word and he says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they dropped what was in their hands in pursuit of this new path that Jesus was going to present to them. This last week, I was hanging out with some pastors, and we get together twice a year, and we're all equally dysfunctional. We all have issues. We're all about the same age. Our churches are all about the same size, and we sit in circles, and we talk about ideas. It's a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And in the end of the time, we come together and we create an action plan or strategic plan of what we're going to do. Some of it's church related, some of it's personal. Most pastors are talking about things like I need to, you know, stop eating so much and stop, you know, hanging out at work too late. I need to focus. It's a lot of that kind of stuff. Okay, I'm just telling you what we do. So this time there were like three guys in the group that lost 15 pounds. So one of my friends, his action plan was to lose 15 pounds on the back end. I don't know, it was like comparison or competition, godly competition, whatever you want to call it. So we're at the airport leaving, and we're at Starbucks in line, and my friend's telling me about his strategic plan of what he's going to do. And he's like, yeah, man, everybody lost 15 pounds. So I need to lose 15 pounds too, and I'm going to do it between now and when we get back in 6 months. So we're at Starbucks, and the barista is there, and she's like, so here's your triple grande caramel macchiato with sauce pouring out the side, and would you like whipped cream on top? I am not kidding you. It was like from heaven, this voice says, would you like whipped cream? Or maybe from hell. I should say it's from hell. Would you like whipped cream on top? So I look at my friend, I'm like, would you like whipped cream on top? He just told me he wants to lose 15 pounds. So he looks at me, looks at the woman, looks at me, looks at the woman, and goes, put the whipped cream on, baby. He's like, I got 6 more months to lose the weight. I looked at him, I'm like, bro, it's never gonna get easier than it is right now. I'm not judging. I said, I'm not judging, but I will put it in my message this Sunday. That's all I'm saying. And it's never going to get easier than it is right now. That's why the word immediately is in there. Because following Jesus or doing the right thing only gets harder the longer you delay. It only gets more difficult as you resist the decision that you know you're supposed to make. So the second invitation was Jesus saying yes to letting go of what was holding them back. If you let go of that, then you can follow me. Now, what's interesting about the difference between religion and relationship is religion says, first fix it, then follow. If you get your life straight, then you can come and follow the ways of Jesus. But what Jesus was proposing is that now I'm giving you an invitation to drop it, where relationship says follow, then over the course of time, I'll fix it. So if you drop the thing that's holding you back from me, over time, I'll make you more loving. Over time, I'll make you more gracious. I'll give you more power. I'll give you the ability to overcome that addiction. So you've been thinking you got to fix the addiction before you can follow, but he's been trying to get you all along to say, no, if you drop it and follow me over the course of time, I'll actually change you. So this mindset is very important to understand. The invitation that Jesus is making to these men at the moment is to let go of what holds you back. What is the thing today that you're holding on to that is holding you back from following Jesus? Some of us, it's the person that we drove to church with today. Don't look at him right now. Eye contact would be really bad right now. I'm just saying. But there are things that entangle us. It's an addiction. It's a relationship. Sometimes for people, it's the fact that they don't want to let others know that they're following Jesus. We'd rather just keep it secret. So then when it's time to get baptized, like we're doing today at all of our services, it's like, that's for somebody else. So you for years have been following him, but you haven't told anybody else, so it's still a secret. And Jesus is saying, no, actually today, baptism is going to be your thing that you're going to step forward and yield your life to me. Let people know you're following, like a wedding ring. I put it on because I got women hitting on me. I'm just kidding. But I wear it because I need people to know I'm committed. I'm already taken. Baptism is me saying, you saying to the world, I'm already following Jesus. I want to yield my life to him. In fact, in just a few moments, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to that invitation. We came prepared today. We have everything you need. We have t-shirts. We have shorts. We have blow dryers. We have feminine products. We have everything that you could need to take that step today to be baptized. I want to give you that opportunity to let go of what's holding you back. What's holding you back today? Now, I know that sometimes what's holding us back is the fact that this whole idea of following Jesus is new. Why would you follow somebody you've never heard about before? Why would you commit yourself to a religion that this is the first time that you've ever heard of it? But what I want to say is it's not a religion, it's a relationship, and it's an invitation that he's making to them and he's making to us. And there's always a decision that has to be made. So they make the decision to let go. They drop their nets, it says. They start following him. But what happens next is brilliant. It says they left their nets, they started following him, going on from there. And then there were two other brothers. They saw them, James, the son of Zebedee, John and his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. This time they got their dad with them. They're mending their nets, and Jesus calls them to also follow him. And immediately they left their boat and they followed Jesus and responded to his invitation. See, what Jesus was asking of them in this moment was not to follow a set of principles or follow a set of ideals that they didn't know about yet. They didn't understand all the rules. They didn't understand his ways. They didn't understand what he was going to communicate. What he was asking of them is simply to trust him with the next step, which was letting go of the nets and following him. This is the third invitation. It's saying yes to taking your next step. There's always a next step. Every day of your life, there's an invitation to God. And what Jesus can do is he can help you walk out of some things that you've behaved your way into. But you have to take the step. You have to respond to his invitation. And these men drop their nets. They say yes to the next step. And over the course of time, they're going to watch Jesus. They're going to see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And the story continues that as they followed Jesus, if you'll read further on, it says they went into the next town and Jesus starts performing miracles. and people's eyes get open. They're blind. He opens their eyes. People who are lepers start to walk again. Jesus takes people who have been stuck in disease and he heals them. And they get to be a part of this movement that starts to spread exponentially across their area. And their simple being willing to let the nets go and take the next step was the very decision that made the difference between them being a part of the movement that Jesus would bring and staying at the side of the lake. I was wondering this week as I was reading this story if there was anybody else. Like, was there another disciple that would have been? Another Peter or Andrew or James or John that would have been in the history books, but Jesus came and he said, you know, would you follow me? And the guy looks and he says, I think I'd rather stay here. I think I'd rather just keep washing the nets because I don't want to give up my comfort. I don't want to give up my Father's business. I don't want to leave this to follow you. And today he's making that invitation. And just like the early followers of Jesus, you and I have to decide, will we respond? Now, in just a moment, I want to talk about the reality of why this invitation is more than just built on teaching and values. But I want us first to see that Jesus, from this moment, has been in the business of radically changing people's lives. These men later would go on to become bold proponents of the message of Jesus. And all throughout human history, people have been changed by this message. Let's watch one story of somebody who recently has been changed here at South Bay Church, and then I want to talk about how to apply all of this to our lives personally.
Hi, I'm Jen. And how I got to South Bay Church is actually a long story. There was a flood that hit maybe like a quarter of San Jose, and I was affected by that flood. I had to evacuate from my home for about a week, and after the city of San Jose said it was safe to return, we returned home to like a mess. It was like a nightmare. And then literally the next day, Saturday morning, like South Bay Church pulled through, and I don't know what happened. I just woke up one day in the middle of July and was like, I think I should go to church. And so I texted my Christian friend and she brought me here to South Bay Church. We attended 11:30 service, and that was the message when Pastor Andy talked about seeing potential and not problems in the world. And afterwards, we were hanging out in the hallway, waiting for a friend, Cherry. After Cherry wrapped up with serving with Bay Kids, she was like, let's go to lunch with YP. And I was like, what's YP? At first, I was hesitant about joining a group of strangers for lunch, right? But we went, and it was great. Cherry and I went to lunch with YP. And that's when David Choi was wearing one of those orange lanyards with the Dream Team tag. I was jokingly asking him, like, where can I get one of those? And then David looks at his friend Daniel Ruiz, and he was like, she wants to join FIT. And I'm like, oh, I didn't say that, right? But Melissa Mendoza and Daniel got me plugged in to joining FIT, and I've been serving at 5 and 6:30 ever since. I went through Grow Track. And in week one of Grow Track, Kendall emphasized the four steps to really know God. The third step is to accept God, and I had trouble doing that. But I met Nina at the Connection Center, and she prayed over me. And it was a really powerful prayer. I accepted God, and I invited God to take control of my life. And I can see and feel Him doing amazing things through me. It's crazy because He's working through you too. He's working through all of us before we even realize it. My decision to get baptized is just to show everyone that I know God.
You know, what's amazing to me about this story from Jen is to think about all the yeses that were a part of one life being changed. Earlier this year, the storms came and they just started pouring down, and we're like, what do? We say yes to Jesus, and we love and we serve, and we go to the mobile park down the road from us, and we just love with no agenda. We just help people clean their backyard, give money, we'll do this, because this is what people who follow Jesus do. We love, we serve. So a few people who said yes shared love. Then she said yes. She came to church. Then she processed. Then a few people in our young professional group said yes to Jesus to make community. And then community starts to happen. And then a few people start to serve and build relationship and say yes to loving and serving, all to the point that this one person would say yes to following Jesus. Now there's all this joy and there's all this peace, and she has purpose, and her life is totally changed from a series of yeses. Our mission as a church is to urgently lead people to say yes to Jesus and passionately follow him, because we believe that yes to Jesus is the greatest yes. It's the greatest decision that you could ever make with your life. But what's kind of crazy about thinking back about these guys who said yes to Jesus, they didn't understand in the moment. They didn't know fully who he was, but they surrendered. And some crazy things started to happen after they surrendered. They started following him. They're going town to town. And then Jesus kind of slips one on them. He's like, oh, by the way, just in case you didn't catch this on the front end, I'm God. Now imagine if people like came to work at South Bay and they get in and like a first few weeks we do orientation, and then like, okay, you're at week 6 and you're going to come in my office, and now here's the time where I drop it on you. I'm God. They're gone, man. They're like out of here. First of all, they're like, there's no way this guy's God. He's crazy. He's a lunatic. And I'm leaving this place. Like I'm running and telling somebody on Facebook Live, he's nuts. Because I'm not God. I'm a human like you. I have all the same issues that you do. I struggle with insecurity, with selfishness, with pride, all of it. I'm just like you in your shoes. So the proclamation or the declaration or the statement that somebody's God, there's only a few options that it could be. Maybe Jesus had some really good Jerusalem hash and he was smoking it on the side and he's just off his rocker and he's crazy. He thinks he's God. That's one option. He's a lunatic. The second option is that he's lying. He's like, oh, let's see what we can do. Convince them all that I'm God. Or the third option is he really was God. See, you can't just wrestle through the message of Jesus and say he's a great teacher. Although every world religion would agree this man historically existed, he has fundamentally changed the value system of the entire world. Things like turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, love your neighbor as yourself, all that came from Jesus. And every world religion integrated it into their belief system. More books about him than anybody that's ever lived. More paintings of him than anybody that's ever walked the planet. More songs sung to him than any human who's ever lived. He's not an ordinary guy. We all would agree. He walked the planet. He historically existed. But who is he? Who was he? Is the question that we have to wrestle through. Was he just a great teacher? But if he was just a great teacher and he said he was God, he's crazy if he wasn't God. Well, you have to ask what these guys believed. And something happened along the way where these early followers of Jesus would stop following him for a period of time. In fact, the moment that they stopped following him was at his death. They all left. The Romans got control and they put Jesus on a cross. All of them, aside from one, James, Peter, Matthew, Bartholomew, all these guys scatter in fear. Totally leave them. Yet something happened that historically you can validate outside the Bible that they would all be brutally murdered for their faith that Jesus was and is the Son of God. Some of them would be crucified upside down in crosses because they said they weren't worthy to be murdered the same way as him. Others would be battered with clubs and have their brains dashed out on rocks. Some of them would be whipped so badly that their body's not even recognized. One of them, historically, they believe was dropped into tar to be burnt at the stake because of his faith in Jesus being the Son of God. Yet at one point, he denied it and he ran from Jesus. So what is the logical explanation behind their cowardice to their bold faith and declaration that he was the God of the universe that came to live among us? The only logical conclusion is that something happened in between to change them. And the thing that happened was that he conquered the grave. He was placed into a grave for 3 days, and the grave could not hold him down. He came back from death to life. Now listen, if you can die and come back to life, we'll call you God. We will. And that's the only logical explanation that he truly was God in human flesh. It was that he had created life, he stood over death, and death could not hold him. So he proved that he was God by conquering the grave, coming from death to life. So now there's this invitation that stands to you and I, and it's not just like, drop a physical net and follow me. It's that there's an invitation to follow the God of the universe, not just for this moment, but for all of eternity. So the hope he offers is not a hope in this life. It's not just a political way out for these men. It's the hope of the reality that from now, in this moment, to all of eternity, you can know the God that created you, that your whole life you've wondered, why am I here? What's this emptiness in me? It's because he made you to know him. Nothing in this world will satisfy you. No car, no relationship, no religion. It's the God of the universe that made you with a part of you that only he can fulfill. It's only him. And the beauty of all this is that he loved you so much to die on a cross so that you and I could be forgiven before God. That's how much he loves you. So he stands right now and he says, I see it. I know your brokenness. I know your past. I know it all. And today can be your day where it's all wiped clean, where you stand forgiven before me, where you respond to this beautiful invitation to life. The Bible communicates through Paul, one of the early followers of Jesus, that the wages of sin is death. That's the consequence. For my pride, my arrogance, our selfishness, the fight you got into on the way of church, on the way to church, all of it. The consequence should be separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That means that because of the death of Christ on the cross, the resurrection from the dead, that there's a gift that God wants to give to you. It's greater than any gift that you've ever received. It's better than a friendship. It's better than a car. It's better than anything that you could pay for on the planet. It's relationship with God. Today, he's drawing you. There's this sense inside of you. There's this stirring. There's that small voice that says to you, there's something more. I want it. It's this. It's relationship with God. It's what you've been waiting for your whole life. And he's saying, come now. Come now. Receive it. Will you receive that gift today? Jesus said, to all who believed in my name, I give them right to become children of God. Not born of a husband's decision or human will, but born of God. Jesus said one time that I didn't come to bring judgment or condemnation. I came to bring life. For whosoever believes in me, he said this, shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life, because of what he would do for you on a cross and conquer the grave. You can receive it right now in this moment. At all of our campuses, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to invite you to receive a gift from God, relationship with himself. Listen, you've been running. You don't have to run anymore. You can come home. You don't have to try on your own power anymore. You can receive it right now by faith in Jesus. He loves you. He knows you. He sees you right now. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the place that you're in spiritually. And he's saying, come. I know about that. Don't worry about fixing it. Follow me, I'll fix it. Surrender to me. All I'm asking for is your yes. That's all I want. Just give me your yes. Receive it. Today's the day of salvation. Just tell him, Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. Tell him, I want to receive all that you have for me. I believe that you conquered the grave. Please forgive me for my past. I'm trusting you with everything that I am right now in this moment. If you're receiving that gift of salvation on a count of three, for the very first time you're receiving it today at all of our campuses, I just want to invite you to lift your hands up just saying, I'm receiving it. On a count of three, don't be shy. Be bold today to say, this is the gift I'm receiving today. One, two, three, slip them up. All of our campuses, raise them high. I'm receiving salvation. God, thank you today for people whose hands are up. I see your hands at North San Jose. God, thank you for people who've received salvation today and are responding to your invitation to life. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Can we praise together today for lives that are being changed? In fact, as we wrap up our time together, there's a little card. that looks like this. On the front, it says yes, God's favorite word. He wants to hear from you. On the back, there's a response. If you receive salvation today, we want to know. There are baskets all over the room. You can drop them in. Others of you, maybe there's something that God is saying to you. You need to give up. You need to respond. We want to know as well. Just drop them in these baskets. One last part is the decision to be baptized. And some of you today, you responded to that invitation to relationship. Now is your moment to be baptized. Others of you, it's a time to say yes to Jesus and passionately follow him in baptism. So during these next two songs, we're going to give you an opportunity. Listen, it's never going to be easier than it is right now. It's never going to be easier. We're going to cheer. We're going to shout. We're going to shout so loud and rejoice over people's lives that are being changed. There's nobody that's going to support you more. We got photographers. We got the clothes you need. We got buddies in the back. Look all good. Like they got lots of sleep last night so that they can help you with this. They're ready for you today. So during these songs, don't be shy. We're all slipping out. We're putting cards in boxes during this song. We're indicating decisions to follow Jesus. And those of us who are getting baptized, we're going to the back and we're saying, I'm getting baptized today. Sound good? Amen. Let's stand up. Let's stand up, all of our campuses. Father, thank you for people today who are responding to your voice, responding to your invitation to relationship. I pray now that you would help people who are thinking about baptism be bold, say yes to you. Do not delay anymore. God, thank you for people whose lives are being changed by the hope that you have to offer, who are letting go of areas of their life. Thank you that you're a God who still works and invites us by love. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Go to the back if you want to get baptized. All of us, let's drop our cards in the boxes around.